Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I have assessed Huntsman, Newt, Palin, and Romney. I want to offer an update on Palin and Newt. Then we hope, if we have time, to offer a preliminary assessment of the rest of those who have already declared, like Herman Cain, Gary Johnson, Ron Paul, Tom Pawlenty, and then the newest horse to enter the gates, Rick Santorum. Welcome, Rick Santorum. We are still waiting to hear from Bachman, Christie, Giuliani, and Palin, by the way, to get into the starting gate. They keep circling outside, pawing the ground, snorting this or that about one another, but they've not committed. All right, you probably have heard that Newt's campaign manager has resigned, along with, quote, a half dozen senior advisors, end quote, but I think the latest is that the bleeding stopped at 16 top guns from his campaign team. Ouch, that's got to hurt. The insider scuttlebutt that's not so insider anymore is that these guys are feeling like his wife is interfering with Newt's campaign and that he is not sufficiently serious about his bid for the presidency. They are frustrated with his tendency to shoot himself in his own feet. But the back-breaking straw, I hear, was when he decided to take a cruise with his wife instead of hitting the campaign trail hot and heavy, as his advisor suggested he should do in order to recover from his most recent gaffe on Medicare. Anyway, this past Thursday, they all said, or at least 16 of them said, adios. Rush might have called this one a while back. He said something about believing Newt's real interest is in teaching and writing and stuff, and that he was not serious about his bid for the presidency. He offered that he thought perhaps Newt was using the campaign to bolster his resume. Well, maybe. I think Newt has demonstrated a certain amount of superficiality from time to time. I already spoke to his tendency to posture or pose for the MSM, and I don't mean like for a photo, I mean ideologically. You understand what I'm saying? He tends sometimes to present himself in a way that appears to be an effort to belie the MSM's, mostly stupid media, stereotype cast of him as a baby-kicking, grandma-starving, you know, they give him the dickens, squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, when in truth he's as gentle as a purring kitten, yeah, and sometimes skittish of his own shadow, which can sometimes get him in trouble. It's like a guy who just cannot pose a smile for a photo, like moi. Every time he tries, it just looks phony and often bizarre, even awkward, perhaps freakish. Anyway, like I said before, I like Newt, and I could totally get into him being our president, but I don't think it's going to happen, and I think Rush might be right when he implies Newt does not believe it's going to happen, but I hope he is not so superficial. That is Newt. I hope he's not so superficial that he would use the campaign podium simply to buttress an already impressive resume. I think he has more substance than that. Surely, the constant dousing he takes from the left has not doused completely that fire in his gut for the values he cherishes that we saw when he was speaker. I hope he wants to be in the fray, to influence the debate, to get his ideas heard. I said last week that is what I think Newt brings of value to this election 2012. He is brilliant, and when he is on his own game, none can do a better job articulating conservative ideas, except when he's trying to posture for liberal cameras. So I hope he stays in the race. Palin, oh boy, I just don't know what to make of her. She has a great talent for capturing the attention of the mainstream media, doesn't she? I mean, they seem to be fixated on her. It's almost like some sort of fatal attraction thing. What do you call that when someone is obsessed with somebody they hate? You know, when they are irresistibly attracted to what they claim to find repugnant. There is some kind of clinical term for that, isn't there? The question is this. Are the MSM, mostly stupid media, afraid that Sarah will run and can beat President-elect? So what appears to be obsession is really nothing else but a political hack job, you know, to make us all think she's unelectable. That does seem to be the effect it is having on some conservatives. The attack dogs of the left just bark and bark and bark until they wear you out. Or do the MSM simply find her irresistibly delectable? They just cannot disconnect from her in the way some groupies get emotionally attached to a personality and just can't disconnect. Sort of a reverse Stockholm syndrome, perhaps? Probably more like a Brer Rabbit's tar baby. Oh, yeah. Every time they smack her, they get stuck on her. They become furious, and so they hit her harder and again and just keep getting more and more stuck on Palin. Well, whatever the reason, she is a media magnet. Now, there's a lot of talk about her being disliked by the women because of her appeal to men. You know what? The truth is, if it was merely about her physical beauty or attractiveness, men would probably not be drawn to her as a presidential candidate. Now, listen up. This is important to understand. That men, I mean real men, I'm not talking about little boys like Wiener. Real men are not inclined to view, okay, Marilyn Monroe types in the role of the president. Okay? My point is, Sarah Palin does not come across like a sex symbol. Or in other words, her appeal to men is not about sex, it's about substance. Unlike Obama, whose general appeal is entirely based on race, when it comes to explaining how it is that 75% of Americans approve of Obama as a person, while most don't identify with his politics, is that he is black. America is fascinated with the idea that a black man can be president. And you've heard me say it many times. That is the only thing I like about Obama. I am gratified that a black man can be president. The problem is, that is just about the only reason he is president. And what I'm saying is that in Palin's case, if she does run, and if she did win, it wouldn't be because she's easy to look at. Men are attracted to Palin as a presidential candidate because of her substance. But there is a gender factor in this, okay? Men enjoy watching a girl who can talk like a man, you know, say the sorts of things a man would say, be tough, and yet pull that off without losing her femininity. Is that a word? Femininity. Say that five times fast. It's cool. It's really cool to hear her say something, you know, like a man might say, with her feminine voice, feminine expression, and maintain her charm. We love it. It has a very peculiar power. And by the way, it would totally push Obama into the corner of the boxing ring. He'll look a boorish, bullying tyrant if he tries to scoff her off and scornfully dismiss her. Which is why, by the way, he has and will have his attack dogs in the media do it for him. Imagine these two in a debate or during the campaign battle. You know, she'll blow him away because she'll take it to him, directly to him, face to face, head on, head to head, and she'll force his hand. He'll have no choice but to descend to personal attacks, sarcastic insults, because when he begins to see himself being made to look like a fool in front of the public eye by a conservative gal, he'll become petulant. That's his way. He'll start whipping his attack dogs, and finally, they'll turn on him and eat him up. Well, we can hope for change. His job will be to make her look like a silly girl no one should take seriously, and their job will be to make her look dangerous. But I don't think it's going to work. You know, think about this. She has some actual executive experience as governor of Alaska, and, by the way, a very successful one at that. He looks like a schoolboy next to Palin. So it very well may be that the MSM are terrified of her. Some think the MSM are trying to drive us to Palin. I don't think so. You understand, the MSM, that's mostly stupid media, mainstream media, have successfully chosen our candidate for us so many times, I believe they arrogantly imagine they have control of that. You know, I'm convinced they are afraid of Palin, and they are trying to discourage her from running and encourage conservatives to see her as having no chance to win. But I warn you, the candidate that the liberal MSM hypes as having the best chance to beat Obama is the candidate that will most certainly not beat Obama. Now, I realize all this is going to make you think I'm pushing for Palin. Actually, I'm ticked off at Palin. But the truth is the truth. You see, I don't close my eyes to what is only because I want it to be something else, like some do. I see what is, And here's my call. I see the MSM as afraid of Palin, partly because of their own attraction to her. Oh, yeah. You see, these insider liberals, the elitist snobs, they have a certain way of looking at elections and the electorate that many of us who are conservatives don't understand until we've been exposed to it long enough where we begin to notice it. Elitist liberals have a deep-rooted disdain for we the people. Oh, yeah. They regard we the people as sheep, cattle, to be herded by them and used by them to feed their hunger for power. They think the average voter, their profile of the average voter is a low-browed grunt who is a slave to his glands or her glands. Wiener, anyone? But I'm serious. They think voters vote for what's pretty, you know, what looks shiny. Well, they're attracted to the sparkle, the glitter, the glamour, the superficial outward appearance. So they think they can control the voter with the superficial outward appearance of a thing. What is surprising to many is that the reason they believe this is that it is generally true of their own party. These people live inside a box populated by their own kind, and when they look at their own voters, that is what they see. They make the mistake of extrapolating from this limited sample conclusions about the nation as a whole. Their miscalculations have often bit them and will bite them again. And every time it happens, if you notice, they're just so shocked. You see, they are afraid Palin is sufficiently attractive that she can get their votes from their party because she's pretty. In other words, Palin's attractiveness is a threat to them because they believe their voting base can be swayed by such charms. The fact is, there are some who vote that way. If someone makes them feel good, they conclude they must be good. If when they look at someone, they get a good feeling, they translate that into assessment of their character. And there are a significant number of people whose vote will be determined by how a candidate makes them feel, whether or not they agree with them. The problem for progressives is that these people are heavily populated in the liberal ranks. Oh, yeah, there are some conservatives who are like that, but the facts are the facts. Most of these people are liberal. The sort who strive to be identified with the in crowd, whose own sense of worth is derived vicariously from their identification with the beauty and power of others. That's why they continually smear her with mud. They are afraid many in their base will see her as more attractive than Obama and will vote for her. Now, again, I realize I'm building a strong case for a Palin presidential run, and yet, as you know, I'm ticked off at Palin and will not vote for her in a primary. I mean, it's very unlikely, if she does run, that is. But, as they say, the truth is the truth. And I think you can see the truth in what I'm saying. Okay, that's my update. Now, after the break, we'll talk about Herman Cain, Gary Johnson, Ron Paul, Tom Pawlenty, and the newest horse to enter the gates, Rick Santorum. But before I go to the break, some of you wonder why I have ignored the Wiener scandal. Now, at first, it simply did not warrant anything more than, pass me the barf bag, another pervert in Washington. What's news about that? And then it was simply too obvious that the puke was dancing around the truth. And how many times have we seen that game played out or seen that watch that dance? He did it. And the only news there was another politician who thinks we're a bunch of idiots that he can manipulate and use and abuse it as well. And so what's news about that? Then he confesses. And we are presented with the spectacle of the nauseating left circling their wagons around a debauched Democrat to cover their own rear. And well, there's just nothing new here. So, you know, it's the old story. When we conservatives find perverts in our own camp, we boot them. Yeah. You libs protect your perverts and criticize us for exposing them. But even that's old news. And then more recently, it comes out that this guy thinks morals are paintings on walls and the sort of painting you wouldn't want, you know, your children looking at. A sexual deviant predator who ought to be locked up, who is so embarrassing to the left, even they are slowly beginning to distance themselves from him. But he's cute, right? He's clever. He's smart. Don't you find that amazing? That's liberals for you. He's brilliant. So brilliant, he sends lewd photos of himself to underage girls on, you know, what was that, Facebook or something like that. Smart guy. He's an immoral moron who deserves nothing from us but contempt. Now, mark my words here. The more pitiably we esteem the contemptible, the more contempt we will show to the truly pitiable. I hope you're listening. The perversity of men like Wiener will permeate the entire culture with his poison unless we have the fortitude to hold him in contempt for his perversity and demonstrate our utter rejection of him as any sort of public figure worthy of anything except scorn, reproof, and shame. And not only if he used, you know, public money or funds to do this junk, the fact that he's this kind of person, if you allow yourself to be deluded into thinking such perverts are deserving of our pity, you know what? You risk losing your natural capacity to show genuine pity to those deserving of it. Every culture that embraces perversity loses its capacity to protect innocence. Here, Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. The wicked, that means the twisted or the perverse, walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted, end quote. Psalm 12:8, exalt vile men, lift them up to public office, put them in positions of honor, and guess what you get? Well, you unleash the wicked and the perverse, the twisted, on our streets to prey on our children, to rape their innocence besides. Isn't a wiener spelled W-E-I-N-E-R? Isn't that a German name? Shouldn't it be pronounced Weiner? All right, I'll be right back.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Think every American needs a brain massage? We agree. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that will steal from us our liberty. Be vigilant. So, you're going to vote for Palin, huh? Well, don't get angry at me for not supporting her. Remember, she endorsed Meg Whitman, a pro-choicer who supports taxpayer funding of abortion. So, who will she appoint to key positions? I mean, hey, what sort of political favors will she cover with important posts? What sort of justices will she nominate? Huh? Get my drift? She'll play the party dance when she has to. Bachman provides all the advantages Palin does without the problems. Now, I like Bachman. I think she's sharp, very well informed, and she is another one who can take the battle to the political enemies of liberty in this country without coming off like a caricature of a dyke. Yeah, she's not as winsome, okay, as Palin, but she makes up for that in gravitas. Remember that one? But is America ready for a female president? Probably. I know a lot of you immediately assume traditional values Christians, such as moi, are male chauvinist pigs and blah, blah, blah. And you have succeeded at cowering a lot of guys, you know, in my camp, into being afraid to speak to this issue because they're little sissies who hide behind, still hanging onto mommy's apron string, because they don't want to look like the caricature you have created and expose themselves to your ridicule. I'm cut of different cloth. You can't control my thinking that way, but I do enjoy listening to some of you liberals try. So go ahead, call 1-888-770-8000. That's our listener response hotline. Or message center, and spew your bilious bigotry into my mailbox. All right, my voicemail box. I find it entertaining and revealing. For as the good book says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Anyway, you do realize, don't you, how that sort of presumption of bigotry actually is itself a sort of bigotry, huh? It is a prejudice, a prejudgment, that turns your ears off immediately to hearing or from hearing important reasoned argument. The fact is, folks, men and women are different, or haven't you noticed? I don't care how much the politically correct crowd attempts to insist to the contrary. We are all created equal, but we are not all created the same. There are exceptions to every generalization. Yeah, I know. But have you ever heard of the principle that the exception proves the rule? You know, that means that when you identify an exception, it can only be an exception if it's the exception of some rule. So the exception proves the rule. And the rule is men think more objectively than women do. As a rule. Men tend to detach emotionally from a crisis situation and focus on the threat, while a woman tends to respond to a crisis emotionally, and her instinct is to focus on the threatened. And that's by divine design, by the way. She runs for the kids to cover them, while the man runs at the enemy that is threatening them. It's the rule. There are exceptions, but the exceptions more often than not are aberrations, distortions that really come across badly, look unseemly. I mean, a woman who instinctively focuses on the threat to her children before she thinks about making sure the children are okay and safe is kind of an odd thing to see, and maybe not a good thing. A man who runs to protect the children and to cover them and to make sure they're safe as a first instinct instead of immediately identifying and attacking or addressing the threat is also an odd thing to see. It can almost look cowardly. A woman will instinctively throw herself over the children or place herself between the threat and the children, and a man will instinctively attack the threat. I mean, as a rule. While there are some exceptions, there is always the danger that a woman, attempting to act like a man, against her intuitions, becomes a distorted version of what it, manliness. And it usually turns very ugly. You know, and it's how this plays out in leadership roles that is the point of concern. The liberals, the progressives, they think it's a good thing for a woman to have the power of the presidency because it is by them assumed she will be more circumspect, more careful, less likely to engage in war. Oh, really? By the way, first of all, isn't that female chauvinism? but the fact is, the opposite is often the result. Often when a woman is in a place of that kind of power, she is more likely to become strangely aggressive, bizarrely aggressive, because she's needing and necessarily acting contrary to her intuitions, and it's not natural to her. And also because she has something to prove. She has to act contrary to her instincts because her instincts are not suited to that kind of role. You know, I get it. There are exceptions, and there are men who can't make decisions, who become paralyzed in crisis situations, and they can't function. I know that. We have been on a long trip together, my fellow Americans, down a road of denial, denying the Creator's design. We have been duped into the absurd idea that in an ideal world, well, we would all view men and women as the same. Not only as equals, but the same. You know, that's what the word homo means, by the way, in homosexual. The homosexualization of our culture is broader than the gay rights agenda. The idea that little boys and little girls are only different because we tell them they're different. You know, that if we leave them alone, little boys will play with dolls and little girls will pick up sticks and play sword fighting in roughly equal numbers. Well, that's just a bunch of bovine scat. Thank you, Jim. Men and women are different, and that is by design. The Creator made them different because He has a different function for each. Women are designed to comfort and feed with a natural instinct to nurture, and men are designed to protect and provide with a natural instinct to hunt and attack threats. Now, we can pretend all you want, okay? The fact is, men and women are different, duh. And men are better suited to deal with the stress of war, and women are better suited to deal with the stress of nurturing children. A lot of men would rather be in the trenches facing bullets than facing the dilemma of comforting a crying baby. Of course, men are called upon to provide nurturing, and women are called upon to protect. Watch out for Mama Bear if you threaten her cubs. And yes, women hunt and so forth. Okay, I know. But that doesn't deny the rule. Ah, yeah, okay. Go to the lioness and tell me that she does the hunting for the pride, and I'll tell you that humans aren't lions. Humans are human, or haven't you noticed that? This whole business about seahorses. Look, seahorses are seahorses. Okay, the Creator made seahorses, and the Creator made man, and He didn't make them the same. All right? Men and women are different. So given a sane world, it would be better to have a man in a position of authority over other men and in circumstances of war. One of the most important jobs of the office of the presidency is commander-in-chief, hello, and that job is best held by a man. It has nothing to do with male chauvinism or female chauvinism. It has everything to do with common sense and an honest man's willingness to see it and accept it. Now, I'm not willing to live in the fairy tale land of libthink. I'm going to live in the world as God designed it. You know, the one that's evident to anybody who will bother to open up his eyes and see it. Go ahead, tell me about Deborah in the Bible, and I'll remind you, she deferred to Barak and shamed him for his desire to hide behind her skirt. Tell me about that wonderful woman, Golda Meir, and Margaret Thatcher. Extraordinary women whom I admire immensely. And I'll remind you that these exceptions prove the rule. They are rare. And Palin and Bachman may well be among those rare women who could pull it off. I'll tell you right now, if it was a contest between Obama and Palin or Bachman, I'd choose the best man for the job, and in that case, the best man would be a woman. I'm aware that God made man in his image and after his likeness. Male and female created he them. In other words, both men and women share equally in the imago Dei. All right? However, he made them distinct. He made them different. And he assigned to them specific functions. And if we ignore this design to function and force women and men, for that matter, into roles for which they are not designed, we're going to ultimately destroy society, unravel societal order, create all kinds of confusion, and that will be the breeding ground for much evil. Oh, yeah. And you know who will pay the greatest price for this at first? Will be the young, and then will be the old. And then everyone in between will embrace this. Anyway, what about the Ron Paul Giuliani, and how about Herman Cain? Now, I like what I hear and see from him. And, you know, I'm not going to have the time I need to launch into that segment of the show today, so forgive me. Lord willing, I'll address these candidates, and perhaps some more will join the race by next week's brain massage. But alas, I must adieu. Got to go pick up my beloved Dove and begin celebrating our 38th wedding anniversary, June 11. Dove, by the way, that's my wife. I got time for this. At the L.A. Zoo, only about... Five or so years after we were married, I stood mesmerized by a cage of doves cooing in that soft way they do. My wife walked on to another nearby exhibit, but I was transfixed, wondering why the feeling I got when hearing and watching these doves was so familiar. And I kept thinking, there's something familiar about the comfort this is giving me. And it dawned on me that is the feeling I get when I'm around my wife. So I went over to her, hugged her, and from that day till now, I call her my dove. Okay, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see them. Call our listener response message center. The number is 1-888-770-8000, 1-888-770-8000. For those of you who love the show, and those of you, Tony Patton and family, God bless you. We love you, too. You can call and say happy anniversary if you like. Or just call and say lights on, or lights off, by the way, if you disagree with what we're saying here. Lights off means you reject what I'm saying. You go ahead and call and say lights off. Give me your well-reasoned explanations for why you believe I'm wrong. I do, by the way, appreciate hearing from my listeners, whether they agree or disagree, in all seriousness, to well-reasoned argument, I always give respectful attention and due diligent analysis of your argument. What will it be today? Lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States and from outside the country, or for those who would prefer it. You can contact me by email. Go to our website and click on the Contact Us button. To reach our website, go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can just say lights on or lights off and then hang up when you call. Or you can just type me a quick message, lights on or lights off, and then send. I do enjoy hearing from you, though, and letting me know what you think about the show or what you think about the topics I'm addressing. Positive or negative, in either case, 1-888-770-8000 or thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.